This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Plenty of guesses on the number of Americans searching for a new job right now. It's the highest rate in a decade. And one person missed it by 1%. 28% plus. 28.4%. According to the Fed poll of consumers, we're looking for a job. That's the highest reading since March 2014 and up from 19.4% a year ago. So some of it can be good and bad, right? Some of it can be good because people feel like they have a chance now. That before, not any jobs that I want. I don't want to look. I'm afraid. And then obviously it can be negative because so many people are unhappy where they're at right now. So it's twofold, right?
It is. But I mean, the good thing is we know what employment or unemployment numbers are, very low. So you're talking about people that are perhaps unhappy in their job or just want to see what's out there, are looking for more money, more time off, whatever it is, some over the better opportunity. So I mean, you're talking about a lot of people, I have to assume, that have a little bit of leverage that can say, I have this job. What are you going to do that's better than what I already have?
We've watched that, excuse me now, for multiple years, that after so many people got laid off, then needing so many people to come back that a lot of people were really able to pick and choose, including a lot of people who just want to work from home. I know someone very close to me who is just insisting every job he wants is to work from home. And I have pushed back at that. I've said, I get it. We were required at this company to work from home. That's why when I occasionally get a text, and we don't talk COVID hardly at all anymore, oh, you're a big basement dweller. It's a joke that I was a basement dweller. I wanted to come in here all the time. I will occasionally still do the show at home, very rarely. It's almost always Quentin-related. It's a little bit of my health, too, to be honest, because I come in here and I cough. I don't feel nearly as well when I leave this building as I do when I do the show at home. And I mean that in all sincerity. I don't think this is a healthy building. I really don't. I'm not even kidding. But I still feel like I should be here. I want to be here. I like seeing people. I'm a social creature. So I think people should be open-minded on that, right? But they've got the lever. Here's a little more data. Expectations of losing one's job has also hit a record. The new survey found the average expected likelihood of becoming unemployed rose 4.4%, up from 3.9% a year ago, the highest level ever recorded for the survey, which goes back only 10 years, okay? And again, some of that is dread. Some of that is fear. Some of that is also, guess what? More people are jumping back into the workforce. Because the unemployment numbers, we can play these games so much. You know, unemployment at its lowest was 3.5%. It's now up to 4.3%. And we could line up, let's say we didn't have Belsky or Sully on, we could probably line up 10 economists as guests. Five might say, oh, it's great that it's jumped up, which means more people are trying to work. So more people have jumped in. And five others would say, oh, this is troubling. This is troubling that the unemployment rate has jumped up. Mm-hmm. And politicians, depending upon, you know, what office you're pursuing or who's the president, whether you like him or not, are going to use it to their benefit, pending the data. You know, another good one is how many people are actually in the workforce in total. But if I tell you that close to 30% of Americans are searching for new jobs, what is your gut instinct when you hear that?
It's a big number.
It's a huge number.
You mean you're looking at more than one out of every four
yep.
employees that is searching, like I said, for a new opportunity, that is actively trying to leave where they're at, or could be just unemployed and trying to get back in. But still, that's, I would have guessed, somewhere between 10 and 15%.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
And my gut tells me if it's 28.4% in this survey that it's actually higher, that some people are reluctant, even though they're told it's anonymous, to tell the real number.
Yeah. And I mean, what is actively looking for another job, you know, mean? Yeah. Does it mean actually filling out applications, or does it mean you're just dabbling on LinkedIn every once in a while and yep. seeing what's out there and keeping the feelers going, keeping your resume updated just in case?
Because this story is pointing out the negative outlook about the economy, okay? And I get when you first think 28%, like my first thought is, that's a tough spot for a lot of people to be in. That really is. You know, you're unemployed or you're at a job where you're not happy or you're afraid you're about to get bounced. But it can be both ways. That's why, you know, with the economy, you know, when Trump says it was the greatest economy in American history, no. There isn't a single piece of data which backs that up.
I'll prove him wrong.
But I will say this. Were there plenty of indicators, which showed a successful economy? Sure, there were. No doubt. It also helps when you're a president what you inherit. The guy tonight who's speaking, William Jefferson Clinton. So many people think about him and the economy and not as much at the start, but when they started going with triangulation, Dick Morris came in with his little toes and they got more things done, where mid-90s, the economy was flourishing. And it was a few things. Absolutely, some of the policies from Clinton played a part. You can't be president and it's meaningless. It also helped that George H.W. Bush made the difficult decision to raise taxes when the country needed it. And you know what else Clinton benefited from in a massive way? The boom of Silicon Valley. When the 90s, when so many of those companies were surging. Yeah. And if you have an economy which is friendly, does it foster more businesses? Sure. When W took over, he took over a great economy. There's no doubt. Well, then guess what happened? 9/11 happened. And we weren't paying for the wars. He was a no-tax guy, and he wasn't going to change. And obviously, the right decision was made in Afghanistan, and how we handled Iraq was a catastrophe. And the economy didn't benefit from that. And think about what happened at the end of W. Sturm with an economic collapse. And, I mean, Obama and McCain had to leave their campaigns. If McCain had any chance, and he really didn't, because Obama was just this phenomenon, like Trump was a phenomenon, like Reagan was. A little bit of Clinton, maybe not to those three levels. When the economy tanked, how was McCain? Because he was already epoxied to W, who was much more popular than he was when W left office. Man.
Oof.
Now he's turned out to be, we've been reminded, as a human being, good human. Like there's a, I saw a picture the other day. And again, this was W as president. He brought in just before Obama's going to take over. It's Bush, still president. It's Obama. It's Jimmy Carter. It's his father and Bill Clinton. What a great thing to do.
Mm-hmm.
Don, would Don ever participate in that?
No. I think Michelle Obama feels a little differently about W than we learned she does about Don last night.
Yeah. Just a little bit, but
she and W got along wonderfully.
Yeah, when they see each other, and I don't think they're pen pals or anything, but they get along.
Could be.
But that's a great part of America, that as divisive as W was probably from the election itself, that he put, and again, by the way, WMDs, Bill Clinton believed WMDs, Hillary Clinton believed WMDs. Nobody should have believed that Iraq was tied to 9/11. That was a complete lie. Okay. But when everybody's saying they lied about WMDs, Tony Blair believed in WMDs. There are plenty of Democrats who also thought that Saddam had weapons of mass destruction. Now, how they handled the Iraq war, awful. How he reacted to Katrina, awful. But to bring the presidents together, it's a little bit of the Obama soundbite from last hour. You think those guys agreed on issues? No. I mean, Obama ran more against George W. Bush than he did against John McCain. And Bush brought everybody in and said, how can we help this guy? What a great concept. We should have more of that. It's 48 past one. Twins, the bullpen. We talked about the bullpen with Chipper the other day. It's been worse the last couple days. It would really help if they had another starter. So they could put Varlin in the bullpen, and if Paddock comes back, put both those guys in the bullpen. But right now, I might be a better left-hander than they have, and I'm not a left-hander. And the Padres are playing great, but when you lose those bullpen games the way they've lost lately, I don't know. It seems like they linger a little bit more, and they leave something thinking about when you're going to play the better teams if you make the playoffs. There's going to be a lot of five-inning starts.
Yeah. And when you lose a late lead, yeah. Bullpen or whatever the reason, it's always you feel like that one slipped away. We should have won that game.
And you can't put Jax and Duran in the game in the fifth and sixth inning. And I get you're not going to have as many middlemen in the bullpen, but Stewart being out, they miss him. They need a couple other guys in the bullpen. It seems like Varlin and Paddock would be those guys. Well, you don't know if Paddock's even going to come back. And right now, Varlin's been okay in the rotation. They need him at this point. So the Twins and Padres, once again, now pregame at 8 o'clock in lovely San Diego.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.